Now, this morning what I want to do is, we have a few moments left. I want to do something that I can honestly say I've never done in my entire life. Yes, I know, and you're thinking, wow, what's this going to be? Well, this morning I want to introduce to you the topic that I want to talk to you about next week. So this morning all I want to do is do a fairly brief introduction so that I can give you a number of days to think about what we want to talk about in greater depth and from a biblical text next week. The topic that I want to talk to you about is something that I don't think we think about enough. In fact, kind of like this image of a pink elephant that you see here. If I was to say, how many of you have thought of a pink elephant this week? Probably none of you have thought of a pink elephant this week. Well, I think that likewise, the topic that I want to talk to you about this morning is subject matter that, well, I think we need to think more about this issue as a culture, in government, in corporations, within the local church for sure. And I think that there's all kinds of things happening within our culture these days that would suggest that perhaps we have not given this subject matter enough thought. I want to talk to you, I want to introduce to you, and I want you to think about for the next several days the issue of character. I want to talk to you about character. Now, let me just illustrate with 2 points real quick. They're going to appear on the slide, why this is such an important issue. If you get promoted beyond your character and depend on your skill, you have a good chance of falling flat on your face in years to come. I'll guarantee it. I'll guarantee it. And if you perfect your skills but minimize character development, you will hurt yourself and you will damage others and you will grieve the heart of God. I can absolutely guarantee you that. I think many of us are angry, actually, because we have seen it happen so often, too often in the church, in the corporate world, government, a deficiency of character. Someone has landed where they are because of skill, but little to no thought or priority is given to the character of that person. Character. Character is a word that, in a high-level, simple definition, is a word that just refers to, you know, the qualities that distinguish one person from another. Some make the distinction, and I think it's valid to make a distinction between personality and character. You know, personality is, we think of the extrovert and the introvert, and there's far more to that than just those two categories, but personality is oftentimes something that you can pick up, interpret rather quickly. Character, though, is something that is revealed over time and in various circumstances. Character. I mean, how many of us have ever said about someone, oh, they're a real character? How many of us have family members that would say, we would say about certain family members, oh yeah, they're a real character. We have that unusual uncle, or that odd aunt, or that eccentric cousin. We have them, don't we, in our families? You might be that one, right? Or sometimes when watching television, watching a movie, I'm going to date myself here, but there are certain movies that we watch, and we walk away from that movie, and there were a plethora of characters, but there are a few characters that just stand out, and even years later, we can't get that image, that character out of our minds. Heath Ledger, the Joker. If you were around when that came out, man, that was a big, big series of movies. And then Jim Carrey and the Grinch. Character. Character. If I was to ask you, what qualities do you really appreciate in somebody? What are the kinds of qualities that draw you to a person, that are attractive, that are winsome, that engage you? I'm sure we all could just list, oh yeah, these are the character qualities. In fact, on this next slide, you'll see there are a number of character qualities, character traits, that if you were to break out into groups this morning, and I would say, just what are the character traits that you love about certain people? You could list a few of them and just say, this character trait, this one, the combination of these, just endear me to a person, to that individual. This is what first drew me to this individual, this particular character trait. But then if I was also to ask you, what character traits turn you off, find so offensive, find so mean, find so violent, find so disgusting that you are so offended by someone's character, you could list those character traits as well. And do you think the level of focus and priority is high or low regarding character development in our culture? Rhetorical question. Do you think when you look at the world as it is, would you say we have given too much of a priority or too little of a priority to the development of character within our children, within our teenagers, within our adults? Too little, too much. If there were two seminars being offered and one said, this is a character development seminar and this is a skill development seminar, where do you think the bigger lineup would be? My guess, this is my observation, I think there'd be far more people that would want to go to the skill development seminar versus the character development seminar. What I find interesting is that most of the people that have disappointed us, hurt us, and angered us have character issues. Think about that. Think about that. Most of the people in your life who have offended you, hurt you, upset you, ticked you off, and worse, probably have character issues. Agree? Think of the people that have hurt you or have been difficult to get along with. It's not always just because of the position that they hold, but the character that they display. Now, often when I hurt somebody, and it happens, it is because of a prickly point in my character, not the point of difference in my position. Now, I can hurt people because of my position, I get that. But sometimes, oftentimes, most frequently, it's the prickly point of my character that is the offense in how I talk about that position, that issue. Character matters. As I was thinking about this issue of character, which we're going to spend this week and next week on, remember, this is just the introduction, I thought of stating it this way, and this isn't exact. You could actually maybe disagree a little bit with this statement, but as I think of it, I think that skill gives me ability, character gives me credibility, and when you take skill and you take character and you put them together, you get maturity. Now, I think you could also say, well, skill also gives you credibility because you're not going to go into an open-heart surgeon, have open-heart surgery, and you want the credibility of their skill, and I get that. But for our distinction this morning, as I think about it, skill has a lot more, I think, to do with the ability of somebody and character, the credibility. And then when you put those two together, I think there's maturity. I mean, would you agree certain situations where skill can be rejected because the character is lacking? Would you agree with that, that a skill of somebody can actually be rejected? You have the skill, but you don't have the character, and therefore I'm not going to use your skill. One writer says this, no amount of communication, skill, wealth, accomplishment, education, talent, or position can make up for a lack of character. We all know plenty of people who have those qualities, but who exercise no influence over us whatsoever. Why? Because there's a contradiction between what they claim to be and what we perceive them to be. Character matters. If I stood here today and preached the best sermon that you've ever heard in your entire life, and then you found out that I beat my dog and I abuse my wife and make fun of my neighbors, which I do, it wouldn't matter how great that sermon was. I think you'd have a problem. You'd say, well, the ability is there, but the credibility is not there because the character is lacking. A couple of years ago, and it maybe wasn't even 2 years ago, maybe coming up to 2 years ago, some of us were deeply impacted by Ravi Zacharias, one of the greatest apologists to ever live, one of the greatest minds of the last 100 years. Tremendous skill, ability to talk about the Christian faith. But upon his death, it was exposed that his character was lacking. And you know what I heard time and time again? There was this huge debate. Okay, Ravi was a great skilled orator and tremendous apologist, and his arguments are still sound. Absolutely. But I heard so much debate on podcasts, well, should you cancel them? And there were a lot of people, and I'm not disagreeing here, there were people that said, I cannot stomach listening to him any longer. His skill is tremendous, but his character was lacking. I'm canceling him. I'm not going to listen to him on YouTube. I'm not going to listen to those podcasts that are still available. I know people that took all his books and they burned them. They disposed them in the garbage. I don't want that name on my bookshelf. Tremendous skill, lack of character, thus the credibility is gone, and you lose your platform. As one person said, people follow people, not positions. How many of us have been disappointed, so let down by leaders who got busted because of character issues? How many of us have been disappointed? For some, it's like you get winded, punched to the stomach. Character matters. Here's my observation. I think we have way more time for people of excellent character and moderate gifts and skill. I think we would put up with a person who has excellent character, so-so skills, unless, of course, it's heart surgery. But you know what I'm saying here, in general, versus someone who has tremendous skill, but they have so many blind spots and they refuse to deal with their character. I think most of us have more patience with healthy character, moderate skill versus high skill, compromised, ignored, unacceptable character. However, how many of us have allowed, and I think all of us have done this, how many of us have been on a team before and we have said, that person has tremendous skill. This team so desperately needs that skill that we will overlook character deficiencies because I need that skill on my team. How many of us have overlooked major character flaws? Churches have done it in senior pastors. There's just too many stories like that. And I'm sure we do it on macro and micro level. Your skill is so useful to this organization, to this business, to this church. We'll give you a pass when it comes to some pretty obvious character issues. And what happens? Slowly the team, the culture of the team, the health of the team, the harmony of the team is compromised. Have you ever said this about someone? Too bad they have such glaring character issues because they're really, really gifted. It's too bad they're not willing to own up on their character and get accountable and have people speak into their life because they are really, really gifted. Too bad. Character matters. When hiring, often Bethel, lots of companies do this, churches do this. This is kind of common sense stuff, but maybe not so common. You look for issues of character and competency and chemistry. And I was in a conversation with someone just recently, and they said, when we look for somebody in these three qualities, there is no question that character is number two. No, it's number one, isn't it? Number one, character. Character. I mean, to show the importance of character, fill in this blank. How can such a smart person do such a blank thing? How can such a smart person, such a skilled person, do such a stupid, moronic, irresponsible thing? Sometimes the answer to the question is character. Character deficiency. Character matters. Think of the collective character of the church. So it's not just individual character, but guess what happens when people come together, there's this collective character. Listen to what one person writes about the church, and this is really humbling. He writes these words, "Christians are supposed to believe in the spiritual unity of the church. While differing over in politics and other secondary matters, they are in theory supposed to be unified by their shared first love as brothers and sisters in Christ. Their common devotion is supposed to bring out the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord," says the opening lines of a famous Christian song commonly known as "By Our Love." In its chorus proclaims, "And they'll know we are Christians by our love, the world envisioned by that song." Notice what he says, "The world envisioned by that song seems very far away right now." The bitter recriminations have caused some believers to wonder if the whole religion is a crock. And then listen to this last sentence. This should concern us. We now see young evangelicals, that's kind of maybe a dangerous word in some contexts, but young Christians walking away from faith, not because they don't believe what the church teaches. So get that. They're walking away from faith issues, not because they don't believe that what the church doesn't believe what it teaches, but because they believe that the church itself does not believe what the church teaches. I believe what you're teaching. I'm just not sure you believe what you're teaching because of character issues. That came from an article from the New York Times, David Brooks. Character matters. So here as we wrap up, a little survey. If you think character is an important issue these days, just raise your hand. Okay? Raise your hand. A lot of us think character is an important issue. How many of us would say, now you got to raise two hands if you think this is true. How many of you think character is a really, really important matter these days? Yeah, majority of us raising our hands. It's a huge, huge issue. I see those hands up there. It's a huge, huge issue. Well, 2,000 years ago, the Apostle Paul writes Timothy, a young protege. He's a pastor in Ephesus. And as we saw in the fall, he was addressing all kinds of issues that pertain to the ministry of that local church. Remember, it was the Temple of Diana was in Ephesus. It was a major cult of the Roman Empire. It was a bustling, hustling city. And Paul writes Timothy to instruct him on pastoral issues and leadership issues. Then he comes to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and guess what? He starts talking to him about leadership. He doesn't talk to him about governance models. He doesn't talk to him about spiritual gifts that are required in leadership, even though that's true. What does Paul do? He gives a long list of the qualifications for an elder, which is an overseer, deacon, which is a servant. But he doesn't talk about structure. He's talking about that if you want to be a leader, and actually he pulls on a theme of discipleship, if you want to have credibility, whether you're a leader or not, what matters most is character. Character, character, character. And it's almost as though Paul was writing this just yesterday because it's so relevant for us. And so let me just read. I'm going to read just the first couple, three or four, five, six or seven verses here. I'm not going to comment. We're going to look at this next week as we look at character. But just notice here, he does reference a gift or two, but it's all about character so much. He says this, the saying is trustworthy and true. If anyone aspires to the office of an overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. Right off the top. The husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with dignity, keeping the children in submission. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and pride and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of outside so that he may not fall into disgrace and into a snare of the devil. And it goes on and on. It's so much about character. Character. So I want you to think about these two questions in the week ahead. Here we are. Are you aware that what God is allowing you to walk through is an opportunity to develop your character? Are you aware of that? God may have you in character school and you don't even know it. You don't even know that he's enrolled you. I want to let you know, whatever you're walking through these days, he's enrolled you in this school of character development. Are you aware that as whatever you're walking through, whatever challenge it is, there's a number of things that God will be doing in your heart? But one of the major things that God will want to be doing is to develop your character. The second question is, what is one aspect of your character that God is refining in you these days? If you could nail it down to one word or two words or a phrase, what is it that God is shaping in you, in your character? You come with your answers next week, whether you're online or whether you're in our building, and I'll come with some of mine as we unpack character, 1 Timothy chapter 3. As we close and as I pray, we're just going to close with prayer. After this little section, there's a part of the last 14 to 16 where Paul references Jesus. And it almost would seem a little bit like, why did he insert it here? But as you study the text, it becomes quite obvious in terms of what he says prior to this and what he says after. In verse 16, he says, "Great indeed we confess is the mystery of godliness." He's referring to Jesus. "He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory." He takes us to the character of Jesus. He talks about character. And then he says, if you want to see the greatest character, look no further than the beauty and the wonder of Jesus. He is the character in the drama that stands out. He is not the eccentric cousin. He did have an eccentric cousin, John the Baptist. But he is not that. He is the one whose beauty and majesty and wonder and glory is what the church is all about. Because if you look at me, if you don't look too close, that's the voice in my head. But if you look at me, you'll find character flaws. As you come to Bethel, online, in our building, it's our purpose, it's our heart, it's our desire. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Because anybody on this platform, anyone in ministry, anyone that comes to our church, we're all flawed. We are the eccentric cousin. We are the odd aunt, right? The beauty is in Jesus. So let's stand as I pray for you as we conclude this morning. So will you pray with me? Holy Father, the one in whom there is no fault or error, how worthy you are. We acknowledge that we are flawed, but you are perfect. We are weak, but in you lies all power. Lord, we don't want to appear beautiful on the outside, but inside we're filthy. Please deliver us from every hint of pride and self-righteousness. Clothe us with a spirit of meekness and flood our hearts with love. Help us not to be quick to pass judgment, but instead extend grace, lifting up the fallen and the weak. Teach us to be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. We surrender our entire being to you. Help us to live a life worthy of the salvation that we have received. Lord, we don't just want to do the right thing, but please help us to have the right motives. As we take on our daily tasks and go through life's challenges, Lord, please help us to always respond with love and grace and not allow our emotions or flesh to control us. Help us to show integrity, exercise self-control, and use wisdom. We pray that the fruit of the Spirit will abound in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We pray for humility like Moses, selflessness like Ruth, kindness like the Good Samaritan, compassion like Joseph, and above all, the love and the character and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Drape us, clothe us with the beauty of Christ this week as we are the church scattered and engaged. We ask this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.